You are Locked On Jaguars, your daily Jacksonville Jaguars podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
All right, welcome back to Locked On Jaguars, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. I am your host, Zach Goodall. You can make sure to throw me a follow on Twitter at Zach_Goodall, as well as my co-host, Chris Thornton, who you can find at Misto Christopho. Chris, say what's up to the people.
I want to die.
I'm sure you're not alone in that, pal, with the Jaguars on their five game losing streak, heading into a game at TIAA Bank Field against the Pittsburgh Steelers in a couple of days. We apologize for the a little bit erratic podcast scheduled this week. We've had a big turnover thing at our work, and Chris and I have both been very, very busy with that, but looking to get things out more on a consistent basis starting next week again. So make sure to stay tuned. And for that, you can make sure to subscribe to Locked On Jaguars on iTunes, Spotify, Stitcher, Google Play, just about anywhere you can find podcasts. You can find us. And today on our final pod of the week before this Steelers game, we're going to break down the three key matchups to the game if the Jaguars would like to win this game and break their five-game losing streak, get back in the win column with four wins after this week. These are going to be the really important matchups that we look at. And it starts off with a little bit of injury news, that being Ereck Flowers will be starting at left tackle, as it appears Josh Walker is doubtful going into this week's game. Walker has been pretty disappointing at left tackle after filling in. Flowers will be the fourth left tackle to start at the position for the Jaguars this year. And it's going to be a bit of a rough test for him. He's going against a fierce Pittsburgh pass rush led by TJ Watt at the edge position, the brother of JJ Watt, who has given the Jaguars many a troubles throughout his career. So now we get the light version of JJ Watt in his brother, who's emerging as a pass rushing star for the Steelers team. So Chris, you've got some PFF premium stat numbers cooking. Give us a taste of what this matchup might look like.
Well, as we all know, the Jaguars left tackle position is not their strongest position by any means anymore. They, like you said, are penciling in Ereck Flowers, who was so bad that he got benched after the second week in New York, and then was eventually cut, and then picked up by the Jaguars midseason. This year, when he played the Jaguars, let up 7 total pressures, and we all remember the one Calais Campbell trip when he got beat around the edge. Then the next week against Dallas, he let up 4 pressures. But going to TJ Watt, TJ Watt has been fairly consistent this year on pressures. He's averaging about 3, doing quick math or just looking at it. Opening the season, he had 4 against Cleveland, 3 against Kansas City, 3 against Tampa Bay, 1 against Baltimore, 9 against Atlanta, 0 against Cincinnati, 6 against Cleveland, 2 against Baltimore, and 3 against Carolina. So, a decent, like I said, about 3 or 4 per game. I mean, they've played, 7 games because they have the bye week, or 8 games, actually. So we'll do 31 divided by 8, 3.8. So yeah, almost 4 pressures per game. His biggest week by far coming against the Atlanta Falcons, where he had 9 total pressures, 3 sacks, 3 hits, and 3 hurries, and 1 batted pass. And did he have any interceptions? No, he did not. That would have been a hell of a game. Would
you help me with some quick math real quick?
Of course.
How many pressures? So he has 31 pressures on the year. How many pass rushing snaps?
Pass rushing snaps, he has 268 total pass rushing snaps.
So he is getting pressure on about 11.5% of his snaps. Now, Chris, if you'd go over to Yannick Ngakoue's page, let me know how many pressures he has versus how many pass rushing snaps he has, and we could put together a comparison pass rushing success rate and kind of go from there. And if you can't tell, I'm stalling just to be sure that you get the page.
Yannick, I was already up, buddy. Yannick Ngakoue has 39 total pressures on 259 snaps, pass rushing snaps.
Yannick Ngakoue is still a superior pass rusher, folks. He is averaging a pass, he is generating pass rush on 15, or pressure, I should say, on 15% of his snaps. I didn't know if those numbers would be too close. I genuinely just thought of that as Chris was going over it. So if you're taking Yannick Ngakoue lightly, you should not be, despite his lower sack count and the Jaguars' lack of sacks this year. He is still a beast. TJ Watt, though, I mean, anything in the double digits for pressure percentages is very good, and especially coming from a second-year player, I think Watt's going to have himself a pretty solid game this upcoming week.
Yeah, I mean, I might be able to generate at least one pressure against our left tackles, but I think Eric Flowers looked decent this week or last week against the Colts in his, 14 or 15 snaps before he got hurt. He didn't look horrible. Josh Walker, I mean, probably in that span, if I could pull it up real fast, but probably let up. Well, actually, no, they didn't let up any sacks. So, not Flowers. Walker had himself a decent day, which is saying a lot because he has been struggling tremendously, as we all know this year. But I think Eric Flowers is going to come in and play a decent game. I think the change of scenery will be good for the former first-round pick.
You certainly hope so, and let's hope that he can shut down TJ Watt and company up against this Pittsburgh Steelers team on Sunday at TIAA Bank Field. When we come back, we're going to be diving into the second matchup of the game that we are going to need to be paying attention to. So Le'Veon Bell is obviously the big storyline in Pittsburgh this year because he hasn't shown up. Just this past week, he didn't show up, in which case it meant he was disqualified from the entire 2018 season, cannot play whatsoever. And everyone thought that that would be a huge hit to the Steelers offense because Le'Veon Bell is one of the most, if not the most, complete running back in the NFL in all three phases of the game for a running back, in running, receiving, and pass blocking. But the Steelers don't really seem to have missed a beat without him, because the emergence of local hero James Conner, who went to the University of Pittsburgh, the cancer survivor story that everyone loves. There's more to his story than just surviving cancer. The story right now is that he is a damn good running back and has filled in perfectly for Le'Veon Bell and is doing a really great job. So Chris has some PFF numbers. Obviously, the Jaguars' run defense has not been that great, and James Conner's doing a good job. So how are you projecting this matchup to look come Sunday?
I mean, looking at what James Conner is doing on the year so far, he has 772 rushing yards. I believe that's rushing yards. Rushing yards. So he has 772 in, let's see, they had their bye week as well, so 9 games. So if you can quick math that for me, that's a pretty high average per game.
Get me the numbers one more time.
772 in 9 games.
85.7.
So just under 100 yards per game, and that's because he had a few weeks in the beginning that he kind of didn't get a whole lot of yardage. He only had in Kansas City, he had 17 yards on 8 attempts. And in Baltimore, week 4, he had 9 attempts for 19 yards. But that's not even factoring in like receiving yards, because that's where he's kind of making up some of his ground. But outside of that, he's at 136 yards, 61, 110, 111, 146, 107, and then 65 against Carolina. So he's had some pretty good success, as a lot of people know. He has 10 touchdowns on the year. So I think that's obviously going to be one of the big focal points, is stopping James Conner, because if you can shut that down and make Ben Roethlisberger throw like you did last time they played him, maybe the defense will be able to have some success against Big Ben, who, by the way, has a pretty high turnover worthy play percentage at almost 4% of his throws being turnover, or 4% of his plays being turnover worthy.
And obviously that's going to be a big deal. That's even more than quarterback Blake Bortles, who we're going to be talking about in our third segment in a little bit. But obviously, you know, James Conner's getting it done. The Jaguars' run defense hasn't. They're allowing a lot of chunk plays. We saw that against the Colts, and it's almost like the run game is complementing the passing game for almost every team that comes through here, because they start with the quick release passes, and the Jaguars' secondary isn't making plays. And in return, like on 3rd-and-1 last week against the Colts, they allowed, who was it, Jordan Wilkins, to go 53 yards on a 3rd-and-1. And it was, you know, a bad breakdown. Really bad run fit by Barry Church. Must have been a day that ends in Y. So obviously, this Jaguars run defense is not getting it done. And the Steelers have a really good offensive line on top of what they're getting out of Connor. So this doesn't look like it's going to be very ideal, right? I mean, Marcel Darius and co. are going to have to get something going to shut down Connor early to set the tone for the game.
Yeah, I mean, they're going to have to get into this run defense. Like last year, they were pretty bad in run defense. But once the year, once they got Marcel Darius, it kind of turned around. Now, surprisingly enough, although it seems like the Jaguars' run defense was bad against Indianapolis, they actually had an 83 grade, so they were actually that was actually their best run defense of the entire year by a significant amount. But so it's those splash plays that obviously make it sell worse.
That tells you how bad it's been throughout the year, though.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, if 83 is your highest, then that's something to look at. If we go back last year, your highest was a 90.3. And you averaged about 70 plus, whereas this year 70 is one of your high points. They're hitting 60s a lot more this year than they did last year. So a step down in the run defense. Maybe that might be because the corners aren't able to press as much, which is kind of allowing team or not press as much, but teams are able to go a little more two dimensional, is what I'm trying to say. So last year, when the best cornerback in the duo last year, AJ Bouye and Jalen Ramsey, were shutting guys down, teams were having to force the run and vice versa. So now that offenses can kind of open it up, the Jags defense just kind of looks lost because they don't really right. seem to be dominant in either facet of the game. So I think that's one of the biggest things. Also, you have guys like Barry Church who is not playing good football this year by any means. Ronnie Harrison, I think you might have better run defense. You might have better coverage against tight ends. If Ronnie Harrison's playing last year, I don't think Eric Ebron has 3 touchdowns.
I don't think so either at all. And I mean, it's almost becoming a weekly thing. Like, when is Barry Church going to get benched? Or are the Jaguars not concerned with the biggest weakness on their defense right now?
Yeah, I mean, it's disappointing to hear that that the team doesn't want to fix it. And maybe they will, or maybe, I don't know, maybe Barry Church will get like one of those surprise like injury reserve things where we've seen in the past where a guy like looks healthy and then you wake up the next day and it's like so-and-so has been placed on injured reserve and you're like, what?
What?
So
like Will Richardson, like I knew he had like a minor injury or whatever and people were starting to think, oh, maybe he's going to have to get some playing time. Nathaniel Hackett was hinting to he liked where he was progressing at and maybe we'll get some playing time out of him. And the next day you wake up and he's on the injured reserve. this team, dude.
Yeah, I mean, this team is very not very clear with injuries by any means. I mean, have we even found out what Linder's injury was or Marquise Lee's injury was?
I don't think we will.
I don't think we ever will unless one of these guys comes out and says it like in the offseason or something. But that's just what you get with the Jaguars, just not a whole lot of clearness, especially when it comes to some pretty significant stuff. But that's kind of a moot point at this point.
Well, that should just about wrap up the second matchup, one that we're not overly optimistic about. However, perhaps there might be a little room for optimism in the third segment that we're about to break down. It has to do with Blake Bortles. So before you get caught off guard right when you hear it, that's just a little taste. So are we seeing a chance that Blake Bortles could actually have a decent game like he has in the past against Pittsburgh this upcoming week, considering their secondary is definitely not their strong point, and Bortles is coming off of what I actually think was a pretty solid game for him. Not a really even what you'd want to call a good or great game by any means, but definitely was, you know, better than anything we had seen in weeks from him against the Colts. Do we think he could maybe build upon that against the Steelers secondary?
I mean, looking at season grades, the Steelers started off really hot defensively in coverage against the Browns with almost an elite grade of 89.1. And then the next week, they were brought right back down to earth against Kansas City Chiefs and Patrick Mahomes, where they had a 29.8 coverage rating. They didn't kind of bounce back against the Bucks offense for a 57. But looking at this, the Steelers pass coverage average is about in the high 50s, low 60s. So not great by any means for the Steelers, which is some optimism for the Jaguars and quarterback Blake Bortles. It's just a matter of, can Blake execute when he needs to against a defense that likely will probably be giving him looks?
Yeah, and it's going to take an all-around balance because obviously the Steelers' pass rush is getting it done. So if they can win up front, that'll lead to an easier day for their secondary. So the Jaguars, obviously, they need to be successful in all facets of the passing game. Blocking up front needs to be good. The receivers need to be – they have been getting open all year. I hate the narrative that they're not. It's a lazy narrative that is easy to prove wrong with a simple look at NFL Next Gen stats. Like the most unbelievable site that you can find, like for free, for information on the NFL that's really in depth. Stupid lazy to say that they're not getting open. They are. And the thing is, their issue is that they're dropping the ball. So the Jaguars receivers need to continue doing what they're doing and getting open, but catching the ball. And most importantly, Blake Bortles needs to be accurate, making good decisions, placing the ball where it needs to be, unlike. Besides this past week, he had a couple of bad throws, but it was a lot better. But for the most part, we've not seen good placement or decision-making from him. Really, all three parts of the passing game are going to need to be successful in order to take advantage of a not-so-great secondary for the Steelers. Are you optimistic that could happen, Chris?
I'm a little bit optimistic. The Jaguars' passing offense has just been so kind of inconsistent. But something that's also going to help the Jaguars offense is if you get some good play out of Ereck Flowers, like we mentioned earlier. The Steelers pass rush as a whole has not been great. They're averaging about 67. Their rating is a 67 on the year, which isn't fantastic. When you can obviously get above 100, but going on a 0 to 100 is about average to a little below average. So if Blake is able to hold the ball a little bit longer than he has been, because that left side, he hasn't been able to really take shots downfield because he's getting pressure immediately in his face, I think the Jaguars might have some success, as the Steelers' coverage defense isn't that fantastic and their pass rush isn't that fantastic, especially with Stephon Tuitt being out on the D-line. If Blake is able to maybe take some shots downfield and maybe stretch this defense a little bit, which will then open up likely D.D. Westbrook on these short middle crossers across the middle of the field, that might be able to open up the passing attack, because then you have Leonard Fournette, who looked good last week. Well, not hurt. He didn't look hurt last week statistically, but in the passing game was able to do some work. So if you're able to kind of stretch the field a little bit and keep the defense, you might be able to finally have a two-way offense again with Leonard Fournette coming back. And we know what Leonard Fournette did last year in both games against the Steelers. So that's something to look forward to. I think the Jags might have some more offensive success than in recent weeks, because obviously we know that they got shut out in those 2 weeks. Again, we're not the shutout, basically shut out. They got shut out in the first half, but they haven't been able to score a lot of points. The last 2 weeks, they've scored 18 and 26, which is a hell of a lot more than the seven before that, the 14 before they were actually winning games. But being able, I think Nathaniel Hackett's going to need to call a creative game this week, because that's really what you're left with. We saw last week against the Colts that Blake, I don't know how many shots he took deep because I wasn't able to watch the whole game, but he took that shot to Moncrief and they got the long touchdown. So maybe if you can continue to do that, Chark has been struggling too, but maybe just kind of stretch the field, like I said, and start attacking that intermediate to middle part with D.D. Westbrook and guys like that, you might be able to give your offense a little more life than the last few weeks when you've been just trying to run the ball but couldn't, and then just going three and out almost every drive.
We have a final score prediction from you, Chris.
Final score prediction. Well, the Pro Football Focus guesstimate or estimated score is 26-22 in favor of Pittsburgh. I haven't picked the Jaguars to win in the last, 3 weeks, something like that. But I am kind of feeling confident in this game. I don't know why. Maybe it's just, I don't know, feeling lucky. I think it's going to be sort of a shootout, which is weird to say with the way the Jaguars offenses be. I think the Jags are going to drop over 30 this week. I'm going to go 35 to 31, Jacksonville. Woo!
I'm not nearly as optimistic as you are. I think Pittsburgh is going to end up breaking the losing streak to Jacksonville at this point. I think Jacksonville is back on the right track, having Fournette back and showing a little bit of life on offense last week. But the defense fell apart when the offense came back. So really, you know, what are you going to get at this point? Can you get a complete performance from all sides? They've done it against Pittsburgh before, but that's when they were really good. Right now, we're not seeing that. I can't really bet on them to win until they prove they can win. So at this point, I do think it'll be a decent game, but I'm giving it to Pittsburgh by a score of 28-20.
28-20. Well, I mean, at least we scored 20 again. That's a trend in the right direction.
And I do think that they are on the right path to not winning out or anything like that, but at least having a little bit of life. And, you know, a loss is a loss, and you never want to, like, participation trophy a loss. But, I mean, I wouldn't be necessarily disappointed if they ended up keeping it close to a one possession game and scoring 20 plus, even if they don't end up winning, because I just don't have the expectation that they're going to win. But we'll see. And I think that should just about do it for us here at Locked On Jaguars. Like I said earlier, make sure to follow the show at Locked On Jaguars on Twitter. Subscribe on iTunes, Spotify, Google Play, Stitcher, anywhere you can find podcasts, you can find us. Follow Chris at MistoChrisFo on Twitter, myself at Zach_Goodall. And we will catch up with you guys next week.